you know, if 1 in 3 or 1 in 4, depending on whose statistics you look at, adult American women had had an abortion, even, you know, when it was illegal, why are we made to risk our lives? Why do we have to enter a criminal underworld? Who's made this decision for us? And that was what triggered in my mind and made me start to read all kinds of feminist literature. It made me think about women as a political group, the sexual caste system as a caste system. I'd always identified emotionally with other groups that were discriminated against, but I didn't understand why.
We're talking tonight with Gloria Steinem, and I am sure that you have many, many questions for her. Your phone call is coming up next on Late Night America. Hi there, you're on Late Night America.
Yes, Carl from Detroit. Hello, Ms. Steinem.
Hello.
My question is, since women are gaining economically, parity-wise, with men in America, why are they still coercing men to become breadwinners? And why aren't women, even feminists, unwilling to support men and their children financially?
You sound like you've had a bad experience. Have you had a bad experience personally?
No, I haven't. I'm asking a question.
Well, because I don't think that what you are saying is true. I mean, the fact is that the people who are supporting children in this country are by themselves, are disproportionately female. And the number of two breadwinner families is ever going upward. You must remember, though, that there isn't parity yet. I mean, women are still earning about 61 cents on the dollar earned by men. So we have to pay according to our ability to earn. We can't, suddenly go 50-50 when we're not earning the same amount.
Hi there, you're on Late Night America?
Yes, in your latest book, you talk about circumcision as extreme proofs of subservience to patriarchal authority. Cutting the tip of the protective hood of skin that covers the penis and area whose number of nerve endings are analogous to those in the earlobe, but not damaging the penis. I'd like to explain that because the number of nerve endings in the earlobe is not analogous to the foreskin. The foreskin is by far the most sensuous of all skin.
Okay, I think we've got to...
Gee, nobody's ever quoted that part of the book back to me before. That's really sad.
First on television. Right. Would you like to explain what you've written there? Huh?
Well, I should explain to the unsuspecting viewer that this is a chapter about genital mutilation, that is, the surgical excision of the clitoris that is done on women in many parts of the world to prevent women from experiencing sexual pleasure, and thus, you know, kind of really turning women into the means of production, literally, if you will. And it's a very brutal, unnecessary kind of operation. That passage is explaining why it shouldn't be called female circumcision, because as it sometimes is, to kind of make it seem as if the same thing happens to men. Clearly, cutting away the entire clitoris and all the nerve endings is very different from cutting away the foreskin. But maybe we should discuss medical authorities, because we researched it, and the number of nerve endings in that part of the skin which is cut away in male circumcision is certainly much less, you know, than in the clitoris or the penis, and we were told was analogous to the earlobe. But
I'm glad you put it in context for us. Hi there, you're on Late Night America.
Hi, my name's Vicki, and I'm in Dearborn.
Go ahead, Vicki.
Yes, I want to know, does Ms. Steinem feel that the Democratic appointment of Geraldine Ferraro as vice president is based on her qualifications, or does she feel it is strictly a move to get the woman's vote?
I think it's both, in the way that in a democracy, everything is both. You know, that is, you want someone who is qualified for the job, and you want someone who represents a very large segment of the population in terms of their views, because that's what democracy is about. So clearly it's both. She is better qualified than many men who have been nominated for the vice presidency. And less qualified than some. She brings with her a whole set of experiences because she is a female person, and she's shopped in supermarkets, and she knows what the healthcare delivery system is like for, you know, for kids and mothers and a whole set of things that are very valuable to know. And she is an ethnic American, which is also very important. So it's a mix, as I think it should be in a democracy.
Let me see if I can sneak one more call in here before the break. Hi there, you're on Late Night America, real quick.
Oh, hello, Dennis. My name is Esther, and we used to be neighbors in New York. I'd like to ask Ms. Steinem whether, if, heaven forfend, Reagan gets in, is that the end of ERA, or is there some way that it can be kept alive until 88?
Thank you, Esther.
Well, in no case would it be the permanent end of the Equal Rights Amendment, because it has been reintroduced in the Congress and will continue to be until it's passed and goes through the ratification process again. But if he wins, and thus it's much more likely that the Republicans control the Senate, for instance, then it's extremely unlikely that you're going to get, if you've, you know, you've got Republican control and a president who's against the Equal Rights Amendment, that you're going to get the extraordinary majority you need to get it out of Congress. We'd probably have to wait until he disappeared. I mean, that reason is one of a thousand to get him out of there, because the Equal Rights Amendment is supported by the majority of Americans, women and men.
Do you think that the election of 1984 is going to be a tough one? Do you think it's an uphill battle for the Democrats?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one has only to look at the polls now to know that it is an uphill battle. But the main question is how many people vote, what the turnout is going to be. If, for instance, the turnout had been the same in 1980 as it was in 1960 in the Nixon-Kennedy race, we wouldn't have got Reagan in the first place.